bring to us the message that the Lord has given him for this evening. Lord Elliot and I.
This evening I want to bring you the gospel message from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's name means Jehovah is salvation. And that's exactly what the name Jesus means. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Isaiah 55 and 2 verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The greatest mission in the world is here announced. Seek ye the Lord. God does not have to tell us to seek pleasure. We travel all over the world and spend any amount of money to have pleasure. He doesn't have to tell us to seek wealth. I have known men who have worked 18 hours a day in order to get wealthy. He doesn't have to tell us to seek wealth. He doesn't have to tell us to seek health. People will spend every dime that they've got just to lengthen out a few more days in this life. And the very fact that he has to say, seek ye the Lord, is damning evidence of our great sin. Because the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. There's not a human being that's ever trod this earth save our Savior who sought God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And God has to say, seek ye the Lord. He has to do the seeking. And the very fact that we have this meeting here tonight is an evidence of the fact that God is still seeking you. He's been seeking you for years. And he's still seeking you. I want you to observe that these words are a command from the throne of God. It isn't something that you can take it or leave it. This is a command from the throne of God, and you are going to be held responsible if you've obeyed his word or not. He says, my words shall judge you in that day. And God says to you, seek ye the Lord. That's your responsibility. That's quite a problem, isn't it? Because none of us by nature seek the Lord. And I want you to notice, too, that there is a time limitation put upon when you can seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There are two things that are suggested by that statement. The only opportunity that you ever have to come to Christ is in this life. The Lord Jesus said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. There is no chance when your eyes close in death. You'll never have another opportunity to be saved. And if our Lord Jesus Christ should come tonight, and we don't know when he's come, the Lord Jesus himself said that we do not know the time, nor the hour when he comes. But we knew he was coming. We have his word for it. He said to his disciples in the upper room, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive unto myself. That's the bright and blessed hope that every believer has in our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're without Christ, our Lord Jesus coming will be the death knell for your salvation. The Bible says that he who was once came here in grace and now offers you salvation freely and fully. It says the Lord Jesus. Think of it. The one who died on Calvary's cross in order to make salvation possible for any of us and every one of us. For God's word says, whosoever will, they come. It says the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is preached, the scripture says, for the obedience of faith. We are responsible to obey the message. And Isaiah mourned, you remember, and it's quoted in John's gospel, Lord, they have not all obeyed the gospel. There's something wrong with them. They've not obeyed the message. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, it's wonderful to be able to say on the authority of God's word that everyone without exception who calls upon him will be saved. He's given us his word for him. In Romans chapter 3 it says there is no difference. There's no difference as to our need, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 10:12 says there is no difference in another way. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever, I like this, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I can tell you why you're not saved. You've never called upon the name of the Lord. Thousands, millions have fled to his fear-pierced side. Welcome they all have been. None are denied. Weary and laden they all have been blessed. Joyfully now in the Savior they rest. Now in the glory, he waits to impart peace to your conscience and joy to your heart. Waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all who their sin and their wretchedness feel. The only requirement that he has is that you call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way. We have to, first of all, seek. Then it says, call. And then we have to leave. You know, God is not going to permit you to have your sins and him too. You have to make a choice. If you want to keep your sins, you can't have the Savior. If you want the Savior, you're going to have to turn your back on your sins. Let the wicked forsake his way, no matter what way it is. Every sinner's way is wrong. It's true that the Bible says every way of a man is right, but it doesn't stop there. It says every way of a man is right in his own eye, not right in God's eye. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know, if our children treated us like we treat God, we would absolutely be flabbergasted. Maybe they do sometimes. If my child stood here and I said, you come, and he said, no, I ain't coming, I'd have something to say about that. Wouldn't you? And yet God says, seek. You say, no, I'm not going to seek. Seek you the Lord. He says, I'm not going to seek. Call you upon him. And you don't call on him. And as God looks down upon us, he sees us as rebels. We are rebelling against his authority. The gospel is preached for the deeds of faith. Just as we expect our children to obey when we tell them to do this and that, God expects our obedience. And then it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. We have to make a motion. We have to take a step. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. I want you to think about these four words. Seek, call, forsake, and return. And notice this. God gives his unconditional promise to those who do those four things. They seek, they call, they forsake, and they return. And this is what it says. And he will abundantly pardon. Doesn't make any difference what your sin is. There is no sin so great that he'll not forgive it. No one has ever applied to him and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm going to turn my back. I'm going to repent of my sin. The Bible says that repentance toward God, I'm going to change my mind. I've been going in the wrong direction all of my life. I'm tired of sin, praying, Lord. All I've got for is trouble. Never had a peaceful moment, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Lord, I'm coming home. Boy, it was a day in that prodigal son's life when he was away in the far country. He could have stayed there, but he didn't stay there. He got down there among the pigs. And he said, you know, even my servants, my father's servants have it better than me. They're back home with Dad. I will arise and go to my home. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and no more worthy to be called thy son. You're 10 years old. You're not too young to come to Christ. You're 20 years old. You're 30 years old. And you know, when we're youth, we think this is all that's going on. 30, and then you're 40, and then you're 50, and then you're 60. I'm past 70. I'm 74. And I don't know if I'll be 75. But I know this. What a sad thing it is to live a life 20 years and 30 years and 40 years and then say, Lord, when I'm no longer able to enjoy the pleasures of sin, I'm going to cast myself toward you. But even if you do that, even if you do, the Lord Jesus will forgive you your sins. God will forgive you your sins for Christ's sake. I love that verse in Acts chapter 13. It says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, you know, this verse begins with an impossibility. It says, seek ye the Lord. And the scripture says, there's no man that seeketh after God. So God asks us to do something that's impossible. Nobody seeks God, and God says, seek me. Isn't that something? He tells us to seek, and he tells us we can't seek. We don't seek. We go our own way. Once the Lord Jesus said to a man with a withered arm, he'd never been able to move that arm. He said, stretch it out. He said, what do you mean, stretch it out? I've never been able to stretch my arm out. Stretch it out. And he found that when he acted on the word of Christ, he had the power to do it. There was a man who had, for 38 years, had lain beside that pool. Never able to move a muscle. Everybody else was able to get a jump into the pool. But not him. He couldn't move a muscle. The Lord Jesus said, rise. Pick up thy bed and walk. Me? Are you talking to me? Yes. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. The Lord says, seek ye the Lord. And if you act on His word, He'll give you the power to do it. You can't come in your own strength. Salvation is of the Lord. He gives you the strength to do what He asks you to do. But you have to act on His word. You have to step out on naked faith. John Greenleaf Reeder says, faith steps out of the seeming void and finds the rock that He is. Step out on His word, you find that He enables you to do the impossible. The Lord said to those 10 lepers, go show thyself to the priest. Well, in the Old Testament, they were told not to show themselves to the priest unless they thought they were healed. Said, what do you mean, go show thyself to the priest? And it says, it came to pass as they went, they were glad. They found that when they acted upon the word of Christ, they found the answer to their need. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You know, one of these days, there are not going to be any preachers here on earth. There aren't going to be any preachers in heaven. There are those who have been preachers here on earth that will be in heaven. But there will be no more preachers in heaven. There's only one place that the Lord Jesus has the power to save you. That's here. He said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, not in heaven, and not in hell, only here. And if you go out of this life with your sins unforgiven, you'll never have another chance, another opportunity. I don't know anything more dreadful than people being brought up here in Spanish Wells. And every one of you have heard the gospel from the time you were little babies. You came here to this or some Sunday school. And you've heard it all your life. And perhaps up to this moment you've never said, I'm going to obey the Lord. He says, seek ye the Lord. David says, the Lord said to him, seek my face. He said to the Lord, thy face, Lord, will I see. Isn't that good? The Lord said, seek. David says, I'll do it. And perhaps you've been asked by the Lord over and over again to seek His face. And you still haven't come. Seek to the Lord while He may be found. The Lord Jesus spoke of a day. He says, when once the master of the house was risen up and shut to the door, many will stand without knocking, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He'll say, it's too late. What will you do when He has closed the door and you are left outside because you would not come before? Well, there's no use knocking. No use to stand and wait. For the word of doom goes through your breast. That terrible, too late, too late, too late. Just shut up. But praise God, we are here tonight, and you can say, He has not closed the gates. He has not shut the gate. He called you. I mean you. He called you. No, He called you. And He wouldn't have you go another step without Him. Because He loves you so. Seek you the Lord. While He may be found, call ye upon Him while He is near. You know, there are plenty of people that are in the church or join some church that maybe they've never come to Christ at all. There are millions of church members today in churches throughout the world. Never come to Christ. If you come to Christ, you're a member of the only church that God recognizes. The Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a friend. And some years ago, he was out on the West Coast. And on the way out there, somehow or other, they lost their baggage, got misplaced. And when they got there, they didn't have any baggage at all. Didn't have a Bible, just the clothes on their back, but they decided to go to one of the churches there, or the assemblies out there. And they told the person at the door that they were Christians, they knew the Lord, they trusted Him as their Savior, and they didn't have a letter of commendation. He kind of looked at them sort of suspiciously, because they didn't have a letter. Even though they confessed their faith in Christ, well, how do we know you're Christians? So, as they were talking, they happened to mention a man's name they knew back in New Jersey. Oh, you know Brother Jones. That wasn't Brother Jones, but I'm using that. You know Brother Jones. And they said, well, come on in. And later this brother told me, he said, I couldn't get in on the Lord's name, but I got in on yours. Well, that may be in this world. You may get in this world because someone says you're a Christian. But I'll tell you, there's only one name that God accepts in heaven. There is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. No preacher, no pope, no priest, no one else can save. But the Lord Jesus is able to save. To the very end, all that come unto God by Him, because He ever lives to make intercession for us. Let the wicked forsake his way. I don't care what way it is. It's absolute wickedness to try to come to God in any other way than through the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way. And any other way is not the way. I am the way. Have you been to Him? Have you applied to Him? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And when the Lord Jesus spoke of the wicked, you know, we think of the prostitutes and the publicans and all of that, and the Lord Jesus never referred to them as being wicked. Did you know that? But do you know who we call wicked? It was the religious folks that drew near to Him with their mouth. But He said, their heart is far from Me. He spoke of the scribes. He said, they were the religious people, you know. He says, they devour widows' houses. They cheat widows out of their property, and for a pretense make long prayer. And God hates hypocrisy. The Pharisees, the most religious people of the day in which the Lord Jesus lived, He said they were hypocrites. That's the people He called wicked. But He had nothing but the passion for the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the down-and-outers. They knew they were sinners. But these people thought they were righteous. They were clinging to their own self-righteousness. Paul says, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is a faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else is of any value before God. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make this my spirit whole. Thy work alone, Lord Jesus, and ease this weight of sin. Thy blood, O Lamb, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. One of the reasons that people do not come to Christ is that they have high thoughts of self and low thoughts of God. No man who has high thoughts of God can have high thoughts of self. Once you see yourself, I don't care whether you've been saved for 50 years, once you see yourself in the presence of a holy God, you thank God for His mercy. And you cry out with Isaiah, woe is me, for I'm a man undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. You know, there are those that give us a reason for not coming to Christ, the faults and failings of Christians. And I'll tell you, there's only one person smaller than the hypocrite, and that's the person who hides behind it. If you're hiding behind the failure of some Christian, you're smaller than the one you're hiding behind. And every individual is going to be held personally responsible for his own relationship with the Lord. Every man shall give account of himself to God. How vital it is. The real reason people don't come to God is because they want more of self and less of Him. They're afraid of what others will think. They're afraid of what their husband will say, or their wife will say, or their children will say. And the fear of man brings a snare. I want you to tell you what God thinks of you. If that's your attitude, God thinks you're a coward. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You're more afraid of what men will think than what God thinks of your life. And God thinks you're a coward. And not only a coward, God thinks you're an absolute fool. You're stupid. He says so in His Word. The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. You have room for pleasure, you have room for business, but for Christ, the crucified, not a place where He can enter in the heart for which He died. And someday, God is going to say to you and me, listen, I told you in My Word, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You had opportunities time and time again. You heard the gospel preached at Spanish Wells and other places. And he says, no, I won't come. No, I won't come. No. But let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Or he will have mercy. It doesn't say he may have mercy. He will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. There's a lovely verse in Psalm 84. It says, David says, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself. These two birds, small birds. The sparrow, the most worthless bird you can imagine. The Lord Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? They're so worthless that if you took two farthings, you got one thrown in free. But the worthless bird, it's found a place of shelter, even thine altars, O Lord. No matter how worthless we are, God has a place of salvation for us. On the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears through wonders I confess the wonder of His glorious love and my own worthlessness. Just like that sparrow, a worthless bird, the Lord has reached and saved me and many here besides. And then He speaks of the swallow. It flits around every which way. It's the most restless of birds. And to all who can find no rest or peace, the Lord Jesus stretches out His arms invitingly and says, come unto me. All you labor, no heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, the peace forever flowing from God's thoughts of His own Son. Oh, the peace of simply knowing on the cross that all was done. Rest in the finished work of Christ. The Lord invites you here tonight to Himself. He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. He says, today, if you will, hear His voice. You have to make a decision. You are making a decision tonight if you're here. Without Christ, you are deciding right now to go out here rejecting Him. or you're deciding right where you are, yes, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to dwell in my soul, break down every fetter, cast out every foe, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thought, and let him return to the Lord, he will have mercy. He will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. There was a young man years ago, and he went to Moody Bible Institute, sent there by his father because it was absolutely impossible. His father could do nothing with it. And at first, Reuben Torrey, who was the head of that institution at that time, said, I'm not running a reform school, I'm running a Bible school. I don't want it. But finally, in the strength of this man's appeals, he allowed this young man to come. And that young man later became perhaps one of the greatest Bible teachers in America. He's written a number of books on the scriptures. One day he came into the man's office, the president's office. He could tell there was a change in his life. He had trusted Christ. And he put his testimony in song. This is what he wrote. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. By God's word at last, the truth I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, the love. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty thought that God did span in Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. You can do tonight just like William R. Newell did. And you can put your trust in the Savior. And you can know the peace that passeth understanding. You can go out here rejoicing in the Savior that you know as your own personal Savior. Shall we pray and then we will sing a hymn. Our Father, we're thankful for this grand and glorious message. We thank thee for each and every person here who has obeyed the gospel message, have submitted themselves to what thy word asks us to do. And we pray for that man, that woman here, that boy, that girl, who for years has put off this matter. We pray that no longer will they do that. But tonight they will say, now is the accepted time. I will trust the Lord Jesus. And we pray, our God, that each of us who have known the Savior for years, we will rejoice afresh in the salvation so full, so free, and it is eternal. We give thee thanks and look to thee for blessing on thy holy word on each here present in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. We'll sing a couple of verses of number 250. 250. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn unto the Lord? Come believing. Come believing. Come to Jesus. Look and live. And then this verse, Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not at once. Decide while the Spirit now is striving. Yield and seek the Savior's side. We'll sing verses 3 and 5 only. Our meeting will be over. If anyone is concerned about their soul salvation, don't leave here without talking to Brother Don or someone concerning your need of Christ. We want you to have the joy of God's salvation for your own. Number 250, verses 3 and 5.